Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, everybody. This is Deb Coviello, and welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. Today, I have the pleasure of bringing to you Dave Hosse. He is an operations and human resource executive with over 30 years experience across all areas of operations, supply chain, and human resources in some of the top global flavors companies. You'll find through our conversation that he has amazingly strong communication, analytical, and even people skills. And with that, he's had amazing results in his career. Previously, as the Vice President of Human Resources, he's had responsibility for hundreds of people, being responsible for the succession planning, training development, optimizing regional operations while maintaining excellent service and quality. And prior to that, Dave also has been as Vice President of Operations with multi-plant responsibilities transcending all aspects of business support, procurement, planning, warehousing, engineering, as well as all of the leadership. He's been responsible for multi-million dollars worth of revenue with significant budgets under his jurisdiction, all the while he's experienced double-digit growth over 3 years consecutively. With all of that, he also participates in professional affiliations. He's been a member of the Institute of Food Technology, a member of the International Institute for Management Development, and when his spare time continues to give back to personal associations or organizations, People-to-People Ambassador Association, Habitat for Humanity Volunteer, Future Business Leaders of America. Everywhere Dave goes, he makes a significant impact on business, but I think you'll find through our conversation today, his biggest impact is on the people he leads. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Welcome. Thank you, Deb. Appreciate and enjoy being here with you today.
Yeah. So just to share with my listeners, I have had the good fortune of meeting Dave through my network. And at our first conversation, I realized this was just going to be an amazing relationship. He's got great stories, lots of experience, has had amazing impact on business. But I really, really enjoy, and I think you'll find how he's done this through people. So Dave, let's just get started here. And I'd love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about your business journey. And along the way, what were you most proud of and why?
Well, actually, I started my career very early on working for a public accounting firm, and I was doing due diligence on companies. And I did that for 6 to 7 years when I decided that I wanted to get out of the heavy travel. And actually, it was one of our clients that reached out to me and asked me if I'd be willing to join them. So I took the plunge, and it got me started working in the operations field. And to take you back a second, part of that time when I was with the consulting group, I spent the majority of my time on the production floor working with operations people. And from that, it led me into our client, who then later moved me into a plant manager role, which that sort of, I feel, has been the springboard of my career. And what I found where I had passion and love and being able to work with people and that. And so that was, I'll say, the launching point. From there, I think as I slowly developed into that leadership role in operations, I found that I had a unique ability to work well with people. I loved being around them. I got energy from them. I found that I spent probably a tremendous amount of my time actually on the production floor, talking with people, learning from people. And I actually found that I enjoyed spending more time out there making decisions with people on the floor than I did sitting back in boardrooms or conference rooms. And that was probably the turning point for me, is actually now having responsibility for people and utilizing people and them utilizing me too in this process.
No, that's fantastic. And I can absolutely relate to what you say is that, you know, we can work at our desk, we can give a presentation, mm-hmm. but unless you have that human interaction, that validation that what you're doing is resonating with them, or are you solving a problem, or quite frankly, just listening to them. Sometimes I just want to be listened to.
Yes, absolutely. And I think oftentimes, you know, you hear that, and I certainly have heard it throughout my career from people too, that previous bosses never really took the time to listen to them. And I felt that, to me, it just seemed to come naturally. I know I've shared this with you, but, you know, I've been a subscriber to the little quotes that people put out there. And one of them that I recall was, "I use all the brains I have and all that I can borrow." And boy, I've used that so many times. And I'm not afraid. I think people would describe me as being very resourceful. I'm not somebody that knows it all, but I'm not afraid to ask for help. And I find that if you do that by asking people that I need your help, more times than not, they'll step up and they'll deliver for you. And I'm going to quote my father on this. He told me at one point in time, he said, "Dave, you know, you demand something, more times than not, you get exactly what you ask for and nothing more. But if you simply ask people, more times than not, you get more than you ask for."
So I told everybody these conversations would be amazing, because as much as we can prepare for them, you never know what's actually going to happen. So the gem of listening and simply asking those broad questions, because people honestly do show up to work with their minds. Yes, they have to do a transaction, complete a task, meet a particular deadline. Mm-hmm. But when you ask people for their opinion or what they think, you bring a totally different dimension of that individual to the workplace. And then you can work with that, and together you can solve much bigger problems than what you intended to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's change this up a little bit. So again, you're a seasoned expert. You've been in a lot of situations, but I would love to hear about a time where you were maybe dropped into a situation, rapid change, adversity, or you were fish out of water. And what did you do in that situation? How did you find your way out? And what was the impact on the organization?
The one that comes to mind, Deb, is honestly, and this goes back to probably in the late 80s, I had been running a plant for about 2 years, and I had the fortunate to have moved into that plant manager role following somebody who was a good role model. And actually, you know, I can say that I like got handed the keys to a well-running car. So life was pretty good for about 2 years until the company I was working for acquired another company very similar. And they had a plant, a very remote plant. And on the day they signed the acquisition, the plant manager there picked up and resigned.
Oh my God.
And so a few days later, I was asked if I would be willing to go up for a short spell and see if I could help them transition this plant and assimilate it into our current company. And I agreed to do that, and I really didn't know what I was walking into. Although the little bit that I was prepped for was that at the time, the plant was in poor condition. They had a lot of quality problems, and the perception was there were a lot of people issues in that facility. So I honestly was like, oh boy, well, I'm up for the challenge. And walking in, I'll say that I think I saw firsthand all the things they prepared me for. One was, well, to take just a step back, I walked into a plant that I was not familiar with the products they produce, the equipment, really didn't know much about the people at all. They knew nothing of me. And I literally walked in one day and one of the previous owners were there to introduce me and for about 20 minutes to as many people as they could assemble. And then left. And so I was left there to basically turn this plant around. But it started a journey. And again, when I talk about the importance of working with people and listening to people, I mean, as I said, I knew nothing about this facility. I didn't know really their customers, nothing. And I had to start learning from scratch. And if you think back, this is the late 80s. You know, we didn't have a lot of technology at that time. Matter of fact, I think if I recall, there were only a handful of computers in the whole building. There was no email connection that we had, that we later had that, but I didn't have that. So everything was done by phone calls and back to our home office and that. But what started was basically having the people take me around and explain to me what they do. And what not just they do, but what the facility does. And every day I learned a little bit more. I can honestly say, I think probably in the first week or so that I was there, I didn't make any significant decisions. I was asking questions to these poor people, but I wanted to know. But I also found that what they weren't used to is actually somebody coming and asking them, because the previous plant manager, he made all the decisions. And so if you want to talk about a 180-degree turn in management from me to the previous plant manager, they were used to not, they wouldn't do anything without getting his permission first. So everything, day in, day out, they were coming to me looking for decisions. And it's like, I mean, my simple question back was, well, what do you think? And, you know, I think it stunned them for a while that this guy wants to know what I know. and it was pretty simple. And after a while, they realized that I was trusting them. So if you think this is the right thing to do, do it. Please do it. And little bit by little bit, I think that I developed confidence in them. They developed confidence in me. And we really started to gel as a team working together. I don't even know if I can take credit for this, but anyway, I remember having the group together at one time, and I told them, I said, you know, listen, I realize the name of the company has changed, but you, the people, your customers, and everything have not changed. So keep in mind that we're going to continue to run this place. We're going to make it better and better every day, but this is your plant. It's not mine. It's our plant, is maybe a better way to say that. And it took a while, but I'm going to tell you what I was told was going to be a 3 to 4 week assignment. 3.5 years later, I was still there in that plant. I fell in love with it. 160, 170 people in a little small community. Suddenly, I felt endeared to them. I'd like to think that they were endeared to me. And we made it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, to say that in the first 6 months, we failed an AIB inspection because the plant was in such bad shape, but we came back 6 months later and we passed it. And a year later, we got one of the highest scores that AIB gives out. And that's just because the people stepped up. You know, we helped develop them, but they stepped up to the game. We had, I think my second year there overall for the company, we got the highest score in on-time performance to our customers. I didn't do that. The people did that, you know? And if you remember, I was told one of the things right up front was quality issues, service issues, all these things that were wrong with the plant. And here, 2 years later, you know, we get the highest score in customers' on-time service in the company. It was just phenomenal. I can't say enough for those people. I you know, I still to this day think about them all the time.
So I just love these stories because they're jam-packed with nuggets. I couldn't write fast enough. And if this was a visual, the people watching Dave would just see his eyes light up and the energy that just comes. Because what really changed was you have one leader making all the decisions and you transform the organization to have 170 people making the decisions.
Absolutely.
And using their mind. And by you leveraging leadership, and leadership is not giving direction, but it's about asking those questions, mm-hmm. listening to the people, asking for their opinion, how would they solve it? And then all your job is to pave the way, remove the barriers, and help them to do the job that they came to do.
Well, absolutely. I'm not going to quote this exactly, but years ago, I remember a gentleman by the name of Edward Deming, and I think he stated at one time that, you know, 98% or 99% of your employees that walk through the door every day bring a brain and want to do a good job. So use it. And I've always felt that way, that, you know, I look around and everybody surrounding me and that can contribute, and I want them to contribute.
So I'd like to take this in another direction, Dave. Mm-hmm. I've got a question for you, because as I was walking the dog today, I was thinking, I really want to know a little bit more about Dave. I brought you here. We had a conversation because you do have the right inspirational leaders that, one, people should look for and respect and look for in leaders, as well as becoming inspirational leaders themselves. But when it comes to you and yourself and your life, what or who has inspired you and why?
Oh, my. I can say that there is an individual, and I have to go back to the person that hired me from the consulting group. And this is going back to 1984. This is somebody who I think had the confidence in me to, he saw something in me that I didn't know. And I think for several years, as he helped elevate me in my career, and that all along, these simple little points that he would make, I think I may have shared this with you, but I remember when he assigned me to my first plant. And as we were walking up, I remember him putting the hand on the door and telling me, before you walk through this door every day, he said, you know, remember, your attitude determines the attitude of this plant. You come in with a good attitude, the plant will have a good attitude. You come in with a bad attitude, the plant will have a bad attitude. And he turned around and we walked in. And that's all he said to me, but that resonated with me. You know, and so many times he was somebody too that I, you know, to this day, I'm going to say I still many times think about what he said, or I catch myself saying something and it's like I'm echoing what he told me years ago. And so to me, he was more than a boss. He was a mentor. And we stayed in touch. I got to tell you just a really kind of a cute little story on the end of this, that when he retired, I'll never forget. He said that I asked him, I forget what it was. I asked him what I could do for him. He said, I'll tell you what, Dave, the only thing you can do for me is, he said, every year, send me a Christmas card. I want to know how you're doing. And he retired in probably 94 or 95. To this day, I send him a Christmas card. Now, I have to admit, a couple times I have forgotten and I have sent them out after Christmas. And it's very interesting. I never get a card back from him until he has received mine. So I know he's still out there. But I don't think in all those years, from let's say 94 or 95, I've never missed a year of sending him a Christmas card. And he sends one back every year. And he's got to be in his late 80s by now.
Those people along the way, Dave, thank you for sharing the story, are absolute gems. And so thank you for that story. And I really like the point that you made about having the right attitude can set the tone for you, the people around you, or the businesses that you lead. So thank you.
When speaking about this individual, I think it's important for people to understand the influence they have on other people. And, you know, he was a good role model for me. Not only did he care about me, but he was somebody that I admired and I wanted to be like. And I think today, so many times, I think we forget when we get in positions of leadership, how people look up to you and how, you know, they look and they aspire to, if they see good qualities, they aspire to want to be like you. And you need to be conscious of that. And I think that for me, I look back at all the times I observed him, whether it was in meetings or he was out on the floor talking with people or whatever, I was observing him. And later in life, as I moved up in the leadership ladder, I always would think back and look around as to who is looking at me. So, you know, I wanted to make sure I was providing a good example to them.
Oh, what a gem. For those out there, think about how you speak, how you present yourself, because somebody's watching. Fantastic. So I'm going to move into another question. So one of your passions is you love to mentor others. Mm-hmm. I would really love to know where that came from and why do you do that? Because you continue your legacy in impacting others as you've been impacted by the mentor you've just shared with us. So why do you do it?
Well, first of all, it's not something that I never thought, you know, that I was going to be a mentor. But Deb, I'll tell you, I was asked if I would mentor somebody that was struggling at a time by his boss. And he didn't know exactly how to deal with it, but asked me if I would step in and help him. And so I did. And, you know, it started out, I mean, I had never been to any mentorship training. But we just started a dialogue, this individual and I, back and forth, and I got to understand the things that he knew he was not good at, what he needed to be better at. I had feedback from his boss as to what he would like to see better in him. So we had a chance to work on those things, but what I did is I took the time to listen to him and what his boss wanted, and we began working on it. But more important was I spent time with him and I observed him. There were times when he was in meetings with his staff, and I made a point of being there, and for nothing more than at the end of it to give him feedback. What did you do well? What didn't you do well? And I think he really, really appreciated that. But I saw that develop. But, you know, I fell in love with that. It was a chance to interact with people and share some things. And then little bit by little bit, because I guess that was perceived as a success, then I started being asked to mentor more people. And over the course of probably the last 10 years, I've mentored a dozen or more people. And I enjoy it. And I've retired. I'm in my second year of retirement. And Deb, I still have a couple of people that they refer to it as, you know, I need a touch up. And so, you know, we'll go have lunch and they're going through a certain situation. And how would you handle this? They want some insight into something, you know, or they feel they might be slipping a little bit and they're looking for a few pointers or something. And I love it.
So you've definitely left your impact, and I'll remember that. I might look you up for a touch-up sometime. And you know what? I may speak to somebody who says, you know, I had a person come into my life. You might know him, Dave. So Looking forward to that day. So I always like to make a recommendation to the people that are listening, books that I've read or books that have been offered to me. And interestingly enough, when Dave and I first met, our first meeting, he recommended the John Maxwell book, How Successful People Lead. And anything that John Maxwell writes is absolutely amazing. So I've read this. Dave and I debriefed it. But I just want to share, if you haven't read this, make sure you look up How Successful People Lead, John Maxwell. Do you have anything else about that? It was just a very easy, amazing read for that. I really appreciate you sharing that with me.
I've always admired John Maxwell, and I think John Maxwell in his leadership style and his leadership development programs, I can identify with them. And probably if I had to say most important is that he has what's called the step process. And I think a lot of times people get stuck in, I think it's step two, where people follow you because of your position. So you're the boss, so they have to do what you say. But the first big step is really, I think, from step two to step three, where you actually move from being the boss to being their leader. People, and now as their leader, people respond to you and do things for you because they want to, and they respect you. And that's a major step, and sometimes a difficult step for people to make. But how John Maxwell, his process of how you get there, I can identify with. And to me, I could follow John Maxwell every day.
So I definitely recommend that to you if you haven't listened or read any of his work. So it's really great stuff. So I've got one last question for you. And this has been some fantastic conversation. So my listeners are other business owners, entrepreneurs, but what's near and dear to my heart are those up-and-coming professionals. So you've got a lot of experience. And if you were thinking about young professionals up-and-coming through the ranks, What are some pointers or points of advice that you'd love for them to consider?
We've touched on some of those, but you know, if I had to choose probably four things out of what we talked about, one would be manage with honesty and integrity. You'll never be successful if people don't trust you. You need to be confident in your decision-making. To me, I always thought long and hard before I made a decision. But once I did, I stood behind it. Probably third would be passionate, you know, and be willing to roll up your sleeves and actually go out and work with people. I think you earn so much respect that way as well. And probably the last thing, which I hear so many times when people are talking about a good leader in their life, there's a common piece here, and that's called being empathetic. I think you have to be able to understand what your people are going through. What pains are they going through in their life? And then I think getting to that point is the first step in becoming an effective leader, is knowing and understanding your people.
Knowing and understanding is a much deeper level of simply just working and completing actions and doing transactions.
Absolutely.
Dave, that was fantastic. Thank you. So we're going to be wrapping this up, Dave. This has been an amazing conversation. Thank you. I have the distinct pleasure of bringing you to a larger audience. You're an amazing person, and you're going to continue to do some amazing work. If people wanted to connect with you, because you are still coaching and leading and consulting with organizations, as well as mentoring a few people, how would people be able to find you if they wanted to connect with you?
Actually, the easiest, I think, Deb, is just to have them go on to LinkedIn. And you can find my site on LinkedIn. Just look up David Haase, H-A-A-S-E, and send me a message. And I will promise you, I will reply if you have an inquiry.
Dave, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me on the show, and you be well. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you, Deb. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.